Hello, welcome to the Movie Stuff Podcast. I think that's our name still. I don't know. It's been a while. That's why I can't remember the name of our podcast. It's been a very long time, and I apologize. The last time we recorded, I said I was going to go watch James Bond. I did, and my review for that doesn't matter anymore because the movie's been out for like 7 months already. But it was a great movie, by the way. So yeah, unfortunately, Rudy and I can't get on the same schedule because he's very busy and I'm very busy. But luckily, I have a friend who's also very busy, but he has a little more free time. Is my good friend Christian, and going to say hello.
Hey everyone, nice to speak with everyone. I did see No Time to Die, and it is also already streaming. So that's how long it's been.
Yeah, it's been a long time, and that was a great movie.
I
think Daniel Craig did a great finale for that character.
Yeah. And, so what was a bummer? My dad's a huge 007 fan. So we had gone to he's been hyping it up. He's been very excited. And so, you know, it got postponed so many times and we were planning to go see it pretty much every time it got postponed. And so when it came out, what was it? November, right? No, it was 7 months. Oh my gosh.
No, it wasn't 7 months. I think I over-exaggerated. It was sometime in November, October. I can't even remember. Yeah. I'm going to hell for that, but yeah.
That's okay. So we went to go watch it at the IMAX in San Antonio, and for some reason we had the times mixed up. We were thinking 7:30. It started at like 7, and he's speaking to, I don't know why I'm forgetting her name, but at the cemetery.
Yeah.
And like, that's where it started for us. We were like, okay, we're like, maybe we missed like 5 minutes, you know, previews and everything, but we weren't able to determine. And now I guess since it's streaming, I can watch it.
Yeah. You missed the whole beginning.
Yeah. No
there's a great, so my only critique of it, I know this is what our episode is going to be about today, but my whole critique about it was Rami Malek, amazing actor. Yeah. I mean, he's incredible. It was like, you couldn't just age him up that much more for the mm-hmm. ending, like, because you see him and you just look like a guy who looks like, you know, I know it sounds, but he looks like he's sick. Yeah. Doesn't look like he's older to where, because he's supposed to be older than the actress, but you're like, you're not older than,
no,
I think you're actually younger than what she
yeah.
is. that was my only problem I had with his makeup was that
I felt like maybe they didn't use, like, it felt like more star power in that role. You know what I mean? Like, they brought him in.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
And I feel like he wasn't used up to, like, I know what his acting skills could be. Maybe that's just a writing for the character. But because I felt like we didn't get a lot of screen time of him, really.
Yeah, he disappears for a good part of the movie. Yeah. And then he comes back. But then again, I don't know. Sometimes that's what Bond villains do, where they're in the movie, then they disappear. But for this one, it felt like, I was like, when he showed back up, I was like, oh yeah, that's right. He's in the movie.
Yeah, he's here. He's actually, he's killing people. He's, oh my gosh.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sorry. It's a very different, like, James Bond movie as well. Simply from the rest. Like, he's already kind of, he's done. He doesn't want to do this anymore.
And yeah. I'm glad that Daniel Craig said when he knows, when he realizes it's the end, he's going to stop. He's not going to just, because mm-hmm. I'm not going to lie, there was a few 007s with Roger Moore where I was like, nah, dude, you gotta go. Like, I don't believe you're doing any of this. And same with Sean Connery. I was like,
yeah,
you got to stop, dude. But right. I like that Craig was like, this is it. I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm not going to kill myself over this.
And he stayed in such great shape.
For years. Yeah.
Like, and I know he's probably like, he looks different than a lot of what James Bond is portrayed, you know, like the black hair, you know, kind of like body type and everything. But I mean, like, he still played it so well. And it was funny. Actually, I watched Casino Royale, nice. Like last month, just kind of see it again. And they asked him, like, you know, shaking or stirred. And he's like, does it look like I give a damn? And I was like, I love seeing that progression from like young baby Bond to like the end. Yeah.
Yeah. And I like that in, I think it was Skyfall, whenever the person's over there shaking the martini and they pour it and he's like, perfect. I was like, yes. but yeah. So overall, yeah, that, we say all that to say we haven't been recording mm-hmm. since then. So we might as well talk about every movie we've seen since. I'm just joking. Now we're not going to do that. It's going to be here for like 5 hours. But today we're going to talk about the highly anticipated The Batman, which for a while there seemed like it was never going to come out. Like when they first showed that trailer, I was like, we have to wait like a whole nother year. And then once that happened, then it's like, now we have to wait like another like 5 months. Mm-hmm. So we're finally here. We're finally to the big release of it. And it's really highly anticipated. I think they've been promoting it well enough that people are really, really excited about it. And to the point where they're showing like whole clips on TikTok, like they're showing a whole, like, I'm like,
I've been making sure to stay clear of it.
I watched one of them thinking it was going to cut away and it didn't. And I was like, oh, this scene is still going. Okay.
Like, oh, wow.
And a lot of the people commenting were like, why are you releasing all this stuff? like good grief. But, so yeah, as you know, it stars Robert Pattinson as mm-hmm. the Batman, Zoe Kravitz as Catwoman, Colin Farrell as Oswald Cobblepot, which, I mean, all right.
Yeah.
It's like Jared Leto playing in the House of Gucci. It's like it's him. But trust me, it's him. You cannot tell at all.
You cannot tell at all. And that's how I think it's so cool. So cool. They actually, from the previews at least, it looks like they've done the makeup well to make him look like another person.
Yeah, I have a really crazy fact about how they did that makeup. And then also Paul Dano as the Riddler,
mm-hmm.
which... And I've heard from early test audiences, they said like he freaked people out.
He's terrifying.
Yeah. And I'm like, yes, that's what I want. I need.
And so what I'm excited for is supposedly, and it's just rumors, you know, he may not even be the main villain. Like it's like bait for us to think he is. And I mean, because I know he could also kind of be like what? Like a little bit of an anti-hero, correct? Like the Riddler.
Yeah.
Especially like from the looks of it, you know, he's like, he wants justice, but he doesn't like the hypocrisy that's going on, at least when he looks at the trailer. And so he's a very like kind of complex individual. And so I can't remember the actor's name, but he was in The Green Knight. He had that small little role. I don't know if you watched The Green Knight.
No, I didn't watch The Green Knight. No.
Oh, okay. Though it was, it's a unique film. I'll say that's what I've heard.
That's what I've heard.
Unique film. It's really about like the cinematography kind of leading you through like that character's journey from the lens. But one of the actors, and he plays like a bad character in there, but he supposedly plays one of the cops. I'm going to just verify real quick. Supposedly, he might be the Joker. Like I've heard a tiny rumor about that.
I've heard that the Riddler is making way for another villain, but I don't know who the other villain is. But the rumors I've been hearing is the Riddler is kind of just like, and I don't want that to happen because. Mm-hmm. Christopher Nolan already did that with the Dark Knight trilogy, where you were like, oh, this is the villain. And then it's like, just kidding. This was the villain the whole time. You know, we were like, oh, Scarecrow's the villain. No, it's Ra's al Ghul. Oh, the Joker's the villain. No, it's actually Harvey Dent's the villain. Mm-hmm. And then Bane, no, it was Talia. So I hope they don't do that. You know what I mean? I hope we like the Riddler is the villain. The Penguin is also somehow related to the plot as well. And that's the story we get. I don't want to do the whole, like, just kidding. It was
setting up for everything else. And then I remember I saw an article that it was written and they're saying that, oh, Robert Pattinson, he's about to be your new favorite Batman. Just from like all the early screenings that they've done. There was one, it was a tweet I saw, a girl, she had gone to an early release, and then I forgot something happened with her sister. Like her sister couldn't get in, and so they were leaving, and so she left like halfway through the movie because she didn't, you know, want to leave her sister hanging. Fair enough. And she wrote, she's like, I didn't see the whole thing. She's like, but from what I saw, they're like, oh my gosh. And so I hate feeling so anticipated for a movie, because,
and it's hard not to for this
definitely. Because I remember like I was foolishly very excited when the first Suicide Squad trailer dropped.
Oh yeah, everybody was.
Yeah, and so I mean, just seeing how well that one did.
very well.
I mean, just in general, like getting let down by movies, especially when it deals with comics, say like people that we love so much, like the Batman, who's so iconic. You know, a lot of people were Man of Steel got mixed reviews as well. Yeah. You know, it's just there's a lot at stake when it's the Batman. I feel like it's such an iconic character, and you really want to make sure you do it right. And not only that, it's so like Gotham is so dark and gritty, like everything about it. It's just it's a perfect place to tell a story of crime.
Oh, yeah.
And so it has to be done right. Yeah.
And I think you kind of said it where you want to get Batman right. And I think a lot of it goes to the fact that Tim Burton's 1989 Batman just set the bar really, really up there. I mean, you had, and you know, it kind of goes back to the original Superman where you had Marlon Brando and Gene Hackman, which is like Marlon Brando and Gene Hackman are in a superhero movie. What? And then when you flash forward to 1989, you had Jack Nicholson, you had Pat Hingle, you had Jack Palance. Like you had, and then Michael Keaton, who was still, he wasn't known as for dramatic roles, but he was there. But it, at the same time, you're like, you got Jack Nicholson to be in a superhero movie. And he killed it. He just
absolutely nailed it.
He just destroyed at that performance, and it was amazing. And so I think the bar was set really, really high with that first Batman movie. Batman Returns, I mean, it's good, but you could tell that Tim Burton was like, okay, now this is the Batman movie I want to make. This is my dark, twisted Gotham City that I really want to do. And the studio was like, yeah, a little too much. It was a little too much. And so then what happens? Joel Schumacher comes in 1995. I mean, so who was the first Batman you saw? Because you're a little bit younger than me. So who was the first Batman that you saw?
So funny enough, I think the first one I remember was Val Kilmer. Val Kilmer. Yeah.
It's
okay movie. First time as a kid, I liked it. Jim Carrey's in it as well.
Tommy Lee Jones, and again, the cast was stacked. Jim Carrey was the hottest actor at that point in the 90s. Like he was just the biggest star you could have gotten.
Financially, that's a movie that makes sense on paper.
Oh yeah. Oh, definitely. Definitely. And Val Kilmer was just coming off of Tombstone, which was amazing. And the style of it was very different. And the movie starts out with Batman getting suited up, which I guess that was cool for kids, you know, because we're like, all right, Batman, like he's gotta be Batman, you know, because in most of these movies, it takes Batman a while to, with the suit on,
suit up and everything.
Yeah, and so this one was pretty cool where he just, zoop, he's ready to go. And then, you know, the ending of it was pretty cool. You know, you introduced Robin. It's like, okay, Robin's in there. And Robin was supposed to be in 1989 Batman. Like, Robin was supposed to be in there. They took it out because it was too much. And then they finally got it in Batman Forever. And then The doomed Batman and Robin comes out, also directed by Joel Schumacher. Val Kilmer, peace, he's out.
Yeah.
He said it was because he had to do The Saint, which that was still a pretty good movie, but I also think he read the script and was like,
yeah,
I got to get the hell out of here.
He's like, no, thank you.
And then, of course, everyone else left. Everyone else was like, we're not doing this. Chris O'Donnell, he stayed strong, and Michael Goff and Pat Hingle stuck it out, and plus Pat Hingle and Michael Goff went all four movies as Commissioner Gordon and Alfred. And Batman and Robin almost killed Batman. Like that almost destroyed the Batman cinematic universe.
I remember the only organic scene from there, and it's one that we've gone over. You show me a clip for so many times, is when Alfred is speaking to George Clooney's Batman, and I'm trying to remember the scene itself. But
there's two of them that are amazing in that movie. There's the one where he's talking to him about how, you know, Batman's always trying to go for control, but in the end, you can't control death. And then he looks up out the window, and you see the tombstone and him visiting the parents' grave, and he says, but I can't. He goes, no, none of us can. And I remember when that scene ended, I was just like, whoa, that was,
it felt unique in comparison to the entire movie, because it's so lackluster.
And you know, and George Clooney's a great actor. Michael Goff was a phenomenal actor, and it was like, you give them the right material, they're gonna give you the goods, and they did in those two scenes of Batman and Robin. The rest of the movie, nah.
What was up with the Batman's nipples on the bodysuit?
So, So the way that Joel Schumacher, the way he said it was, he wanted them to appear organic, as if they are. That's how they look normally. Yeah. But also, like Greek statues back in the days, they would have men looking really muscular, and that's intimidating. Mm-hmm. It was kind of strange.
Yeah, it doesn't work as well. Like, you know, 15, 20 years ago, it's not.
Batsuit with nipples.
Yeah. Like, that was on the front page of the New York Times, I heard. Like, that. But then the funny thing was, 2 years later, they designed the nipples again, but they made them more, like, defined, like, more shaped. And it was like Joel Schumacher didn't care. He was like, I don't care what you say.
Make the areola bigger. Make it bigger.
And, you know, may he rest in peace. Yeah. Schumacher, he passed away a few years ago. And you know, one thing he did say was he did apologize for Batman and Robin. He said at the time, he goes, I never intended to make a bad movie, and because it was, that's my fault, and I'm sorry, I apologize, I just wanted to make a good movie. But he also did say the studio told him, make it more toy friendly. Like,
it never works.
That was all they wanted for Batman Forever. Batman and Robin, just make the toys. Even George Clooney was like, we put on these suits, and then 2 minutes later we're wearing these other suits, and like, why are we wearing these suits? It's like, because it's another action figure we could sell, you know, it's another version of Batman that we could sell. And so that killed Batman until 2005, and we talked about this on this episode, and you and I did many years ago talk about how Christopher Nolan's Batman just rejuvenated Batman.
He revamped it completely. Yeah,
completely, to where we were like, oh, it's a respectable character. It's a respectable franchise again.
Yeah.
And we got three movies from there. I'm still not crazy about The Dark Knight Rises. Y'all know that, but I'm not crazy. The Dark Knight, Batman Begins are fantastic.
Yeah.
So what did you think whenever we got to Batman versus Superman with Ben Affleck as Batman?
Okay, so I feel like I could get somewhat a controversial opinion. I mean,
go for it.
So here's the thing. I think Ben Affleck, stature-wise, body-wise, he has the look of Bruce Wayne. He does. And not only that, Ben Affleck, I mean, he's been casted in roles as like the Playboy type, which Bruce Wayne acts like the Playboy type, you know, to have the front, and then has, you know, the brooding, very stoic character type of Batman. That's really who Bruce Wayne actually is.
Yeah.
And Ben Affleck, he did that very well. The only thing is, I mean, what do you do when you have a bad script? You know? A bad script that doesn't really set up the characters right. The consequences kind of become lacking. And I think that's kind of what happened. It's just, there was a lot of issues in the movie itself, and they're not necessarily like Henry Cavill's fault. They're not Ben Affleck's fault.
No.
It's Jesse Eisenberg got miscasted.
Most definitely. You know whose fault that was though, right?
I don't actually.
It was Adam Driver's fault, because they wanted him to play Lex Luthor, and he said, "No, I want to do Star Wars instead." So that was.
Smart, I mean, smart choice. Yeah, smart choice for sure. You know, I wish they could have. Obviously, I understood why they couldn't. But if they had gotten Michael Rosenbaum, correct? From the original
Smallville. Oh yeah, from Smallville. Yeah, I heard a lot of people thought he could come in to do that role.
He nailed it.
I think with Batman versus Superman was they were trying so hard to be an Avengers movie, and to where the Batman stuff in the movie is good, the Bruce Wayne stuff is really good. But it was like, that's its own movie. That needed to be its own story.
Yeah. And it needs to be thought out correctly.
Exactly. It was and they rushed it. It was too much. And they did release the direct Zack Snyder cut of Batman vs. Superman, which was a lot better. They included a lot more scenes. It was able to actually take its time and go through the different plot points and everything. And then when we got to Justice League, I'm not going to talk about Josh Whedon's Justice League. We're just going to ignore that one. We're going to talk about Zack Snyder's Justice League.
It's not even memorable enough.
It was terrible. But the Zack Snyder's Justice League was really good. I thought Ben Affleck had a lot to play with, and he did awesome. To where I was like, this is good. I think he did a good job. I think with what he had to start off with and then what he finished with, I thought that was a fantastic run as the Batman. And there were rumors early on that he was going to direct and star in his own Batman movie. Mm-hmm. And it was going to be Arkham Asylum based, like in the Arkham Asylum. And it was like a James Bond story. And it's on paper, it sounded amazing. Ben Affleck acting and starring in, possibly even helping write the script of a Batman movie. It was like, this has got to be the best Batman movie ever. And then he ultimately left. And then now comes in Matt Reeves, who he directed Cloverfield. He's directed other movies. He also, the big ones were Cloverfield and Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. Yes,
brilliant. And I loved Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
Did he also do War of the Planet of the Apes?
He did. Yeah, he did Dawn and War. He didn't do Rise, I believe.
He didn't do Rise.
James Franco. Mm-hmm.
And those, I've never seen War of the Planet of the Apes. Like, I don't know. Really? I watched Rise and I loved both of them and Dawn, and I never watched War. I'm such a horrible person.
You definitely need to watch War just to, like, see, because I think what it can do, especially because, I mean, it looks like, I'm hoping we're going to get a sequel after this, trilogy. I mean, we will. And so to kind of see, like, as a director, how he, like, visions, like, the story, seeing that for Planet of the Apes, because I, like, when I got to the end of it, I was like, wow, this is like, there was connections made that are religious, like there's so much cool stuff, and it was really worth it getting to see that whole, like, director's vision just kind of played out. And like, as a creator, you know, like, you see that, it makes you happy because you're like, oh, I would eventually like to get to that one day.
Yeah.
And it makes you happy to see that, like, someone else's success. I'm like, oh, that was really cool. I really feel you.
Well, all right. Yeah. I'll definitely have to check it out. And from what I've heard is, he gets this thing that he writes the script with Robert Pattinson in mind. Like, he's like, Robert Pattinson is the Batman for me. And he threw out the Affleck one. He was like, I want to do a more detective story. I want to do a more gritty detective story. He comes in and he writes it for Robert Pattinson, and Robert Pattinson luckily also is a huge Batman fan. So he was like, I have to do this movie. So he gets cast as the Batman. It was controversial at first, but I've learned not to pay attention to that anymore.
Yeah.
All because of Heath Ledger's. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that was, when that happened, that was a huge controversy. Everybody hated the fact that Heath Ledger was the Joker.
Mm-hmm.
He proved the whole world wrong.
An Oscar later.
An Oscar later, and one of the finest performances in a movie, like top five performances ever in a movie. So I'm anxious to see how Pattinson does. And of course, Zoe Kravitz as Selina Kyle and the Catwoman. Mm-hmm. Great, great casting. And the look of the movie seems like a perfect blend of Tim Burton's and Christopher Nolan's world.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Just like the lighting, especially like in like the one of the very first scenes that they have on the preview, where it shows like he's entering the house, you know, where like the murder is taking place, and he's going through the scene as a detective, and it's so gritty, it's so cool, and like, you can see, I think, like, even the rain in the back, like hitting the window. It's just, it's done so well, and so I know I'm already going to be giving a lot of props to like the set design, like all those people who work on that, because it looks so captivating. Like, I know it's going to pull you through the story, just that set itself. And I'm really excited to see that. And not only that, the Batmobile, like,
that thing looks it's a muscle car that he has revamped. And so this muscle car revamp thing is a remnant of an early Batman movie that was never made. I don't know if you've ever heard about this. Darren Aronofsky was trying for a long time to make a Batman movie in between Batman and Robin and Batman Begins. And a lot of people credit him of keeping Batman alive in the minds of Warner Brothers because he was constantly bringing them stuff to like, we could do another Batman movie. We could do another Batman movie.
Yeah, we just got to do it right.
We just got to do it right. And his idea was Batman takes an old car and he like completely remodifies it and puts a giant engine in the back. And he just like that's the Batmobile. It's like he made it from spare parts to be his muscle car. And then you watch the trailer for this one and you're like, oh, I think that design, it made its way over to,
nice.
To this one.
That feels like a very nice nod.
Feels like a very nice nod, but also kind of a slap in the face for Aronofsky for being like, bruh, like I tried, man. I tried to get this thing made. But I'm pretty sure that's not how he talks at all. But you know,
yeah.
But
it's just a total dude, bro.
Yeah, yeah. And then so with Colin Farrell being cast as the Penguin, as Oswald Cobblepot, I read somewhere that they kind of his inspiration was Fredo from The Godfather, which is he's not the big boss. He's trying his best to become the boss, and he's just gets passed over, you know, throughout. And I think the great John Turturro is playing Falcone.
Yeah,
and John Turturro is just he's amazing. He's a great. And I saw a scene with him, and I was like, he's good. Like
this. Yeah.
And I feel bad for him because he did a few funny movies and everybody just is like, oh, is it a funny is he? I was like,
he's
no,
a funny he's, guy.
Yeah. No, he's not a funny. I mean, I guess that's the rage. He has a lot of rage, but he's mostly a dramatic actor. And
that's because like I think a lot of people like started to typecast him after Transformers.
Yeah. After they're like, oh yeah, he's gotta be the funny guy in this movie. He's gotta be the funny. It's like, no, he's good. He's not good. Just funny. He could be, and yeah, he has these sunglasses on and he's giving his monologue to Bruce. And I was like, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Don't mess with the Zohan as well.
Yeah. he's a force, but apparently with Colin Farrell's makeup, they said they like made sure you couldn't tell it was makeup. Like they said, they shined bright lights on him to where you couldn't even see any seams, any of the tape, any of the glue.
So good.
Yeah. I think
so
they said
good.
It's six pieces on his head right now. And plus the fat suit he has to wear.
Mm-hmm.
And,
have they come out with how long it took to put that on his face?
Not yet. I'm pretty sure after the movie comes out, or it probably is somewhere. I didn't find it, but I'm pretty sure. I mean, you would hope we've gotten good with prosthetic makeup that it doesn't take that long.
Oh,
because you hear about some of these stories that you're like, how long? Like you were in the makeup chair. Like I heard some actors, they say like, I had to get to the set by 3 to be camera ready by 9. Like,
yeah,
I had to be at makeup at 3 to be there by 9. And you know, like Jim Carrey is one of the popular ones from The Grinch. They said he's the only actor to have makeup on as much as he did, like for The Grinch, because he's the main character of the movie. He has to be completely covered in there. And they said that makeup process was long. So I hope we've gotten better to where you're not going to just kill your actor and be like, so here for 6 hours and we're going to put all this makeup on you. It's like, all right.
And then get ready for a 12-hour film.
And then get ready for a 12-hour filming. And then a 2-hour makeup when you have to take the makeup off.
Yes.
That's another thing they said, like, when they did Planet of the Apes, not this one, of course, the Mark Wahlberg one. The makeup was amazing in that movie, by the way. But they said, like, whenever you're taking the makeup off, it's on the skin. It's not on your face, it's on your skin, so they have to like slowly pry it off. If not, you're just gonna rip off the part of their cheek. So we'll see how Colin Farrell did with this. And his voice is unrecognizable. You can't even tell.
Yeah,
his voice, you can't even hear him. His look, it's so. I'm excited to see how they handle the Penguin.
Yeah.
We haven't seen the Penguin in live action since Danny DeVito played the Penguin.
That it was Danny DeVito who played him. I love how like skinny his legs are in that with his body just
yeah the his bulk is costume huge yes. body. And I think his prosthetic, he said the only hard part, of course, it was just the nose and the headpiece. But he said the nose, he was like, I'd sit there in the morning and the makeup artist would come in and I'd be like, okay, let's do it, because the glue was like ice cold that they would put on his face, and they would put it on and they put the nose and I was like, yeah. But yeah, it looks like they want Penguin not to look. It looks like they went for the more realistic approach as opposed to Danny DeVito, who had the long pointy nose and the webbed figures and everything like that. So for me, this Batman looks like like I said, a mix between Nolan's and Tim Burton's, but it's Tim Burton enough to where it's not as realistic as Nolan's. Like, this one legit looks like a comic book movie. Does that make sense?
Yes, Did you get that vibe from it? Yeah, it completely does. Because it feels like I could almost see the panels, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
On, like, the trailer itself. And so, and I think a big use of it is the lighting in that film, at least from what we've seen so far. Yeah. Like, some, I'm not sure if you saw, like, the funeral scene that they had released.
Yeah, I saw that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that felt very Nolan, you know what I mean? That felt very Nolan, like dark, or not dark, but just like the lighting, the use of it. And then you start getting into some of the night scenes. It's like you get these orange colors that are going through, and it's just like you could tell like they're trying to give you that like uneasy feeling. Yeah. And it's very Burton, very, very Burton. And so I'm excited.
And I think they did a good job. I think it's gonna be good. And you're gonna watch it this weekend?
Yes, this weekend. Yeah. I'm extremely excited. As soon as I get out of work, I'm driving to San Antonio. We're watching it at 9 p.m. Yep.
Nice.
So
and try not to have it. It's a long one. It's a long, movie. You know, and apparently, Warner Brothers was shown a 3-hour and 20 or 3-hour and 15 cut, which I was like,
really? I hope we eventually get that. Yes. Yeah.
And I think he shortened it. They had to shorten it to it's in the 240 range right now. So it's an almost 3-hour long movie, which, I mean, audiences are okay with that now, apparently. I mean, we won't.
Yeah.
The Zoomer generation was like, Avengers is how long? Endgame is a 3-hour. I can't. And I'm like, dude, we've been watching movies that long for years. Like, shut your mouth.
Yeah.
I saw Titanic in theaters. You were too young for that, but I saw Titanic in theaters.
See, and so another, I was feeling we addressed it too, because a lot of people's worried, especially I feel like people who are going to be the harshest critics of the movie. It's been, it's not rated R. It's not rated R. And so I had read an article, and Warner Brothers said that they had one condition for Matt Reeves, and that was to make it PG-13. They wanted to be a movie that families can go see. And it's always one of those issues because, like I always said before, Batman has potential to be a very, very dark character. I mean, he is in general. It's not like, it's not a pretty story. It's a guy who is pretty much alone for a majority of his life because Batman, you know, consumes him. And so it's one of those things where it's just like, yes, I completely get that. But he's also, and I hate saying it from like a business standpoint, he's also just so marketable because
it's
the Batman. And I feel like people should go see it. Even like kids be able to go see it because it is Batman. And despite him being such a like gritty, crazy character, like there's a lesson to be learned even for kids to watch it. If they watch, I would like to be a hero. I'd like to stop crime. Yeah, but do you want to be depressed like him? Do you want to? And I think what this film might explore, which I think is good, is from what I've seen, like he still hasn't he's what, a year into being the Batman? And so he's still learning a lot of his stuff, and he's not as good-hearted of a person. And so that's what I'm really getting excited to see, because now we kind of get to dive into like a lot of the complexities of who he is. And we see that in some of the earlier films, but like I think what finally started to like really explore that and grind that in was Nolan's version. And so like, you know, Bruce is trying to, he doesn't know if he wants to keep doing this. And then oh my gosh, I'm forgetting her name. She dies in the second film.
Rachel.
Yeah, Rachel. And so it's like we finally start to see everything that kind of makes him who he is, you know, the Dark Knight.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm excited for in this film, because I feel like they're really diving into what like makes him the Dark Knight, a very like a sad, hurt character who's now just fighting back against the world that like kicked him down, even though he's rich. Even though he's rich, can't have it that bad.
But I think this is an interesting way they're doing it, because he's younger. He's a lot younger than what we're used to seeing Batman being. Mm-hmm. So we're literally seeing him starting off one, and we can tell that he's just this young, rich kid who lost his parents, you know, traumatically when he was a kid. And from what I imagine in my head is he's this young man who lives in the giant house by himself, and he's just depressed. He's mm-hmm. just constantly depressed, and he's trying to do something to fight that depression, which is mm-hmm. to make sure that crime is lowered there in Gotham. And for some odd reason, just the few clips I've seen of Pattinson there and, you know, talking to Alfred, it's like, yeah, I think they're gonna kill it with that new Bruce Wayne that we've been kind of had in our head, like, oh, what was it like when he first started off? And I think we're gonna get it with mm-hmm. Robert Pattinson being that character. And I think Batman is a very interesting character in that, you know, Batman is the actual look. Batman is him. Bruce mm-hmm. Wayne is the persona, the mask. And I think Nolan did a great job doing that. And I think they're really diving into that with this one, is that the mask is, when he puts the mask on, he's like, okay, this is me. This is who I am. Mm-hmm. I am the knight. I am vengeance. Yeah. Oh, by the way, he has a great Batman voice.
He does.
He has a great Batman voice. I think that was pretty good.
It's so like, it's because I know like in Nolan's they added more like effect post, you know. And so like even Christian Bale said, yeah, like I had a voice, but it wasn't like what you see on the film.
Yeah.
So they added more effect, but like it's done so well. It's so like, I mean, Batman, he's always gonna have that deep, like kind of under the breath tone. And so
yeah,
that I'm fine with, but like the way, especially in that scene, just I'm vengeance. It's delivered so well. It gets me excited because, yeah, like Robert, I honestly think Robert Pattinson's gonna like blow this away, like knock it out the park.
And rumor has it he's signed off for 3. So
perfect.
Hopefully they're gonna make so much money this week. And so it's not even a question. It's just like, will they have enough to continue on? And yeah, mm-hmm. but other than that, I'm excited. What are we gonna say? Sorry,
we're gonna come back in a week. We're like, well, that sucked.
Well, that was a crappy movie. I mean, I can't believe I sat through that whole thing.
It reminds me of Fanboys.
Oh yeah,
what if, like, it sucks? What if it sucks?
And the movie just ends right there. That's such a great. That's how I felt every time I watched one of the new Star Wars movies. I was like, oh my god, what if it sucks? I've been so hyped for it. I will say the hype level for this one is not as high. I think I'm kind of going into it with a wide open mind. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm excited, but I'm not like, oh my god, like I'm buying all the Batman stuff. I'm just like, okay,
I'm ready. I want to go see it.
I want to see if they're going to deliver a new Bat, because Batman in a superhero world, Batman is my favorite hero.
Yeah,
but I'm not like a true fan. I like the movies. I don't read the comic books. I'm not one of those people who read all the comic books. I read a few. What about you? Who's your favorite superhero? You don't have to say Batman.
My favorite so if we're going DC, it's going to be Batman. And if we're going Marvel, it's going to be Iron Man. So my brother loves Batman. So he's the one who texts me. He's like, hey, like I'm buying us tickets for the movie.
Nice.
I was like, all right, perfect. Thank you. Because I was at work. And so he had free time. And yeah, like he's in love with it. He has like Batman lighters. Yeah, has Batman shirts, Batman underwear.
I used to have Batman underwear. I had a night light and it was so dope, but it was one of those night lights that you look at it, you're like, that's gonna catch fire, and it's probably
because it
was a light, and then it had the bat signal, but the bat signal was made out of like cardboard or like some type of cloth to where it like glowed and it looked really cool, but at the same time you're like, that thing is really hot, it's just gonna burst into flame. I had one of those, but you know, over the years, of course, there's been kind of like, there's nothing new for Batman. It's just like, and now it's like, okay, maybe the Batman inner child in me is gonna come back, you know,
because
I had a Batman birthday party when I was, 9, 8 years old. Mm-hmm. And so Val Kilmer all the way. Just kidding. No. Mm-hmm. Okay. So who's the best Batman then?
That we've seen. Okay. So I am biased on it just because it came out, you know, kind of like as I was a kid.
Yeah.
Christian Bale, even though it's still probably like comic book wise, you know, definitely varies a bit from like the character build of how Bruce Wayne is, you know. Christian Bale is a more like leaner, smaller guy. Mm-hmm. And Batman is supposed to be this like just like this tall, like just the statue, basically. Yeah. And so he's definitely a little different, but he just nails it so well. That, and he like, he killed it as Bruce Wayne.
Yes.
The character as well. Like the one scene I love is from Batman Begins, when he's at the, was it the hotel or like dinner, and yeah, Rachel walks in and he's like in the little, like the pool, and she's like, "You'll never change." And like, little does she know, he has changed.
Yeah.
He's just been putting up that front to, you know, cause he's stopping crime. So,
yeah.
And it's such like a good, like, tool to use in film, where like you see him as Bruce Wayne, knowing like he can never be that open, because it'll only cause harm to someone, and like purposefully makes himself look bad. And it's such like a good sacrifice to show like how much he cares in a way. And it shows the complexity of his character very, very well.
I like that scene a lot, because he asks, Alfred says, you have to do other things. You can't just go out at night doing this. You learn polo. He goes, "I'm not gonna learn polo, Alfred. Like, are you kidding me?" And he goes, What do I do? He goes, "I don't know. Drive expensive cars, date models, buy expensive things." So what does he do? He pulls up in an expensive car with models, and he buys, like, he literally does what Alfred says you should do.
Yeah.
And he's like, because like you said, he's like, I have to put up a front. I don't know what the hell I'm like, this is not me at all. Like, I'm just gonna pretend like this is what I'm supposed to do, because I don't know what the hell I'm doing. We forgot Andy Serkis is Alfred.
Oh my gosh, I can't wait.
And of course, now we know Matt Reeves has worked with Andy Serkis twice, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes and War of the Planet of the Apes.
Makes sense that he would get him.
Yeah, and Andy Serkis is just like, he's highly rated, but I also think he's underrated. Like, just,
yeah,
I'm like, this guy's so good,
because people don't see him as much without the CGI.
Yeah, and he's done. He did, of course, the Gollum, which was insane. That he was. I remember there was talks of him getting an Oscar nomination for that, but of course, the Academy still doesn't believe that that's an acting performance. I think that's visual effects. But you watch those behind the scenes clips of Andy Serkis as Gollum, and you're like, no, he is acting his ass off. Like, he is. He is, that is him coming out through there. Mm-hmm. And then of course he did Caesar and the Planet of the Apes trilogy. Amazing. And then he did the Jungle Book series. Or not the Jungle Book series. He did the Jungle Book movie that he directed, which I didn't see it, but I heard it was pretty good. And then of course he played Snoke in The Force Awakens, The Last Jedi.
Yeah.
And you know, even though it doesn't look like him at all, he comes out through that performance, and
he really becomes the character.
Oh yeah.
And like in every scene he is. And dude, like, especially like say the Return of the King, where Gollum is having that back and forth dialogue with himself, contemplating killing the hobbits or not. And he's like, "No, they're our friends." And then just looking in the water at his reflection.
Yeah.
And then it's done so well. And like that takes range to do.
Yeah.
Absolute range. And I mean, the great part about Alfred, especially in every Batman story, Alfred is really like a big voice of reason.
Yes.
For Bruce, especially like now, as we're going to see, this is going to be his early stages. So like, we're going to see how useful he is for Bruce Wayne in learning who he is and like who he has to become. And there's a line that I saw in like a recent clip where he's telling him like, "I'm sorry." He's like, "I've lied to you your whole life," or something like that. And like, I know that's probably like misleading. You're going to be thinking, "Oh, like he's going to be pissed off at him." But no, he's like a healthy lie is what it seems like. And it's probably one that's going to, I think, benefit his character a lot and help him probably make that turn that we may possibly see for his character at the end, because I think he's going to be starting off in this like just very brutal, very, very brutal, doesn't really give a damn, you know. He's stopping crime more for him versus the city, you know. It's a very like a weird thing to think of, like, you know, people who only do good deeds so they can say, "Oh, I do good deeds."
Yeah.
Not just because they're.
Oh, I see what you mean. I see what you mean.
Yeah. And I don't think he's going to be going in with that mindset, because obviously, you know, the Batman, he has special circumstances that lead him to that. Like, he does want to do good, but he's definitely going to be way more conflicted in this film. And
yeah,
It's I'm excited. I truly, truly am. I know I don't want to sound too hyped on it,
No, not at all.
but it feels good to be excited about a movie like this, because I feel like I don't get that often, you know, not since I was a kid. I think, well, to be fair, I was very excited for No Way Home. But I think the reason for that was pretty obvious and pretty fair. You know, everyone was like, and I've heard people say, oh, it's a simple plot, you know, this and that, like just bring back nostalgia. And I'm like, okay.
It worked.
So it worked. I liked it. I liked it. And you know what? Movies should be fun. They should be fun. Not everything has to be The Godfather. Chill out. You know, like,
yeah. But we're not saying The Godfather's not a good movie. The Godfather's
a great movie. No, it's a great movie. But not everything has to be perfect. You know,
Sometimes you just need a fun movie to watch. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you just need a fun time just to relax at a movie. Mm-hmm. But then sometimes you want a movie that's going to make you think, going to make you like question a lot of things. And I think this movie's going to achieve that. And I'm excited. Hopefully we can get together next week and we can review this thing.
Yes, I would love to.
Hopefully, but we'll see how that goes. But before we go, Christian, what is your favorite movie ever?
Ooh, okay. This is a tough question, because I feel like that always changes.
Well, that's good. That means
it always changes. Like, I have films that I just really, really like that I've seen. Okay, so don't judge me.
I'm not going to judge.
A recent film that I had seen for the first time, actually, that's become a favorite, and I've only seen it twice since I finally saw it. But it's just stuck with me. Donnie Darko. I had not seen it.
I've never seen Donnie Darko.
Okay. Well, I know what you're doing later. You need to watch it. Very, very, very unique film. Very unique film. I just love what they did with it. The writing in it's very, it's done very well. It's a movie where you leave it and you're like, what am I feeling right now? You won't feel the same. You won't feel the same after watching it. And it's a unique feeling. The soundtrack on there is so good. So, so good. I do highly think you'll enjoy it. And that, and I mean, it's a young Jake Gyllenhaal, who was also rumored to have come in as Batman before as
that was a big mm-hmm. rumor there for a bit, was Jake Gyllenhaal was gonna play Batman.
Even the Joker.
And he was actually rumored to be Two-Face, Harvey Dent in The Dark Knight.
I did not know that.
Yeah, he was rumored, and so was Matt Damon. And then Aaron Eckhart got the job.
Good, solid choice.
But all right, Donnie Darko. Okay, I just want to see. Well, let everybody realize who you are. So hopefully, Christian, you and I can do this a lot more, and we can upload these things a lot more. And for our listeners who went away for about 5 months, we're trying to come back. I promise, we're gonna come back. We're gonna come back. I promise. But that was our Batman talk, and I hope you enjoyed this. And hopefully next week we can do another episode. Christian, it was nice. Awesome.
It's fun. Thank you for having me.
And y'all take care. Have a good week.
Bye, guys.